funny thing happens when we sell out our whole lives to God. I don't mean just the act of believing in Jesus. Of course, that's really important. I mean laying down our very lives at his feet, everything, lock, stock, and barrel. A funny thing happens. All of a sudden, we discover a power so great, we never imagined that something like that would be possible in our lives. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Welcome again to the program as we take a look at living your whole life for Christ from a different perspective. And do stay tuned, because in a few minutes, I'm going to tell you about our latest life application booklet. It's called Victory Against Impossible Odds, and it's all about helping you actually live in the power that you already have through Jesus Christ. Now, this week on the program, we're talking about power, God's power, the power that he makes available to each man, woman, and child who would put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. And yesterday we saw how this leader Gideon was called by God to do something utterly outrageous. He was called to tear down an altar that stood in the midst of God's chosen people, Israel, an altar to Baal. It was a gutsy thing to do because God's own people had turned against him. Their hearts were set on worshipping this false god, Baal. And for Gideon to tear down that altar was outrageous, radical. The people turned against him. They accused him. They asked him what the blazes he thought he was doing. They wanted to kill him. And yet Gideon did something. He honored God. He took a stand for God against public opinion, despite what everyone else thought about him. And even given that this stand could have cost him his life, nevertheless, he took the stand. I want to take a look at that a bit more in depth right now, because taking a stand for God is something that can be very, very hard to do. Some of the people listening to this message right now in different parts of the world, well, for you, taking a stand for Jesus can cost you your life. For others, it's their reputation. Whatever it is, taking that stand can be difficult. And yet the rewards, the blessing from God, is something that begs belief. So I want to scratch around in this issue some more right now. So God had called Gideon to destroy this altar, something that he did in the middle of the night for fear of retribution. So when the townsfolk woke in the morning to find their altar gone, they weren't happy. So they said to one another, "Who's done this?" After searching and inquiring, they were told Gideon, son of Joash, did it. Then the townspeople said to Joash, "Bring out your son so that he may die, for he has pulled down the altar of Baal and cut down the sacred pole beside it." But let me tell you, others often are very, very unhappy when we take a stand for God. Forget that it's the right thing to do. Forget that in their heart of hearts, they probably knew it was right anyway. This was Israel. Their heritage, their history was the history of God reaching out to them through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But make no mistake about it, when we take a stand for God, the forces of hell are arrayed against us. I, for one, need to know that, because here I am sometimes doing the right thing, honoring God by trying to bring peace into a situation, let's say, and you can't believe the people who want to attack you for trying to bring peace and live God's way. It's just the simple things. But someone who sets their heart on this Jesus is going to be attacked. It's exactly what the Lord told his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 20. "Remember the word that I said to you," said Jesus. "Servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they will most certainly persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." So here was Gideon. He's taken a stand for God. He's torn down this altar of Baal, which has sent shockwaves through the community. They are baying for his blood. And right in that place, Joash, Gideon's father, completes God's work in the hearts of the people. As they come to try and kill his son, he asks them the question that needed to be asked in that place and in that time. Joash said to all who were arrayed against him, "Are you going to contend for Baal? Will you defend his cause? Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning. If he's a god, let him contend for himself, because his altar's been pulled down." See, these were God's people. They were behaving so badly, and deep in their hearts they knew it. So Joash asked them, "So what? You're actually going to contend? You're going to stand up for this false god? Are you really? I mean, wake up. Are you really going to stand against your God and the man your God sent to set you free, my son Gideon? Are you going to do this on behalf of Baal? I mean, really? And it seems that that was precisely what was needed. And the hearts of the people turned. And as we saw yesterday, as a result of this turning, both in the heart of Gideon and in the heart of God's people, power came upon Gideon, a power that would deliver Israel from the oppression they were suffering under the attacks from the Midianites and the Amalekites. The Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon, and he sounded a trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called out to follow him. He sent messengers through all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. He also sent messengers to Asher, to Zebulun, to Naphtali, and they went up to meet them. See, instead of contending on behalf of a false god, Baal, they rallied to God's cause. And it happened through Gideon because the Spirit of the Lord took possession of him. There was an anointing where God had appointed Gideon in power and in might to lead his people into battle. Now, this concept of anointing is one that happens throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, kings and priests were anointed. Aaron, the first high priest, was anointed in this way. Exodus chapter 29, verse 7. You shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. It's the idea of God pouring out his spirit on someone, represented there by the oil, and empowering them and appointing them for a specific task. It was precisely so with Jesus. Acts chapter 10, verses 37, 38. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And so far as I can discover in the Bible, Old Testament, New, God only anoints people in this way with the Holy Spirit and in power, people who are completely sold out to him. The only one, of course, who ever executed that in complete perfection was Jesus Christ himself. But Gideon was anointed, empowered by God, only after he had taken a stand for God at great personal risk. Do you see that? Gideon was a strong man from the start, a leader naturally born to the job, but the power of God only came to him. The people only rallied and followed him into the battle after he'd taken an outrageous and dangerous stand for God, completely flying in the face of public opinion. And as is so often the case, God used that stand to change the hearts of his people, to turn them away from Baal and back to the one true God, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Friends, that's how it works. God's kindness towards us through Jesus is meant to lead us to repentance. And that turning away from imposter gods and back to the one true God, that brings power. It's a power, the power of God that is available to each and every one who will put their faith in Jesus, who will trust their very lives into the hands of God, as Gideon did. That's where the power is. And as we'll see next week on the program, that power, the power of God, was so overwhelmingly sufficient that Gideon triumphed against absolutely impossible odds. It's a God thing, that the power of God comes when we turn back to him and lay down our lives. We all have things going on in our lives that are getting us down, things that seem to be defeating us, things that seem to be robbing us of God's peace and his joy. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet called Victory Against Impossible Odds. And it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you live in the victory and lay hold of the joy that you have in Jesus Christ. At the end of each chapter, there are actually some life application questions to help you apply God's Word right into the challenges in your life. To request your copy, stop by at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and your email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time on Monday, with a different perspective.